it's based on different factors. So you can have, you know, a bigger group. I think you're going to have a bigger group of people in their 50s and 60s. Once those people retire and leave, the baby boomers of today, once they leave this area, and I think you have more of these homes on the market for kids, people with families, I think you have a better shot at reversing the trend.
I had a quick question, excuse me, about the, more geared towards the modeling and how you came upon all the projections and kind of building off of Dan's comment about your standard deviation earlier. I'm wondering, do you perform any regression testing on your model, filling in actuals, and if you do, do you take away or adjust your modeling for what you've seen in the past?
Okay. When I actually did my dissertation was a multiple regression model to project enrollments, which I no longer do because what I found out is that the variables, the variance, actually the variables are being captured by only one or two variables. The number one variable in the multiple regression model capturing the variance, or the R-squared, is number of students historically. So what I find out is that really the two models are almost giving the same results. And it's much more labor intensive, and you don't get, the results are almost the same. It's not worth it to you to pay extra money to have me do multiple regression techniques. However, the answer to your question, no, I have not gone and done any kind of tinkering with this cohort survival ratio method model. It's been very accurate. If you look at the literature, it's industry standard nationally, not just New Jersey. This is the method to use.
Thank you.
Sure. Yes?
Did you by any chance look at the closing of Merck Foster Wheeler, potentially reopening with someone else in their facilities, potentially impacting in either direction our enrollment?
No, and the answer is as no. And the reason being is because when we do these kinds of studies, there's too many variables to play with to begin with, never mind what if this happens or what if that happens. So the answer is no.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from members of the board? No? It is obvious, I think, to all of us on the board right now that we're facing a declining enrollment in our school district, very similar to other districts in the state of New Jersey. It is important that we utilize Dr. Gripp's data to investigate whether or not to close a school, how to close a school, understand the state requirements related to closing a school, which school to potentially close, what our options are as far as what to do with that particular building or not, and at what threshold in student population do we actually close a school. But most importantly, how do we close a school while maintaining the integrity of the programs we provide to our students? Tonight we will form an ad hoc committee during the report of the policy and curriculum segment of our meeting to investigate those items that I just mentioned. I have asked Mrs. Hand, Mr. McTiernan, and Mr. Malloy to serve on that committee. I will chair that committee. Dr. Clark will be an ex officio member of that committee. We will develop a list of required tasks that will be needed to complete this investigation. Then a timeline will be placed in accordance with these tasks. We will keep the public informed on where we are in this investigation. Once the committee's work is completed, we will make a recommendation to the full board at a public hearing on this specific topic. I would now like to open the floor to the first recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to direct any questions regarding the demographic study to Dr. Gripp. When everyone has completed asking questions specifically for Dr. Gripp, members of the public can then ask questions or express themselves on school matters of community interest. But please, first, all the questions, let's keep them to related to the demographic study. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Once the questions and answer section regarding the demographic study are completed, this section then will be formally for comments made by of members of the public on school matters only, as I mentioned. This segment of the meeting is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This is defined by our bylaw. The board will make notes of any questions you may have in the second half of this section. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of this particular section. To the extent that any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than 1 minute on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address Dr. Grip at this time, please approach the microphone, state your name, and address. We will be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Any questions for Dr. Grip? No? Okay. Can you come on up to the mic, please?
Very good question. Long story short is this. I do this in New York City public schools. And I can do it for those guys because what we have the ability to do is project the number of women that are going to be in certain age cohorts going into the future. And your community is just too small. And what we have are very, very high error rates if we start projecting the number of women going forward. The size of scale here just doesn't work. So it is done in the practice, because once we figure out how many women are going to be in here, let's say in the next 10 years, if we can apply fertility rates going against those women, we can figure out the number of children. It's fairly simple. But the problem is that number that I told you also earlier, fertility rate for Clinton Township being 26 births per thousand. I looked up that number from the American Community Survey, which is a division of census, and I want to say that the error rate was just ridiculous on that number. It might have been 26 plus minus 20, which means that the true fertility rate would be between 6 and 46. So again, with very small counts, it just doesn't work. So what can we do? Is there anything we can do in its place? Well, that's the technically sound way to go about it. The only thing we can really do is just estimate how many kids you're going to have births in kindergarten in the future, but it would be just really anyone's guess. There really wouldn't be any kind of sound, methodological, data-driven thing that I would like to use to stand behind those numbers. The numbers that I could stand behind in a 10-year projection aren't necessarily elementary numbers, because elementary numbers would mean I have to project my kindergarten kids. But what I could probably project with a little bit of ease 10 years out would be the 4th through 8th grades, because those kids are actually born, they're alive, or they're in the school system already. So, but that doesn't help you, because you want to see what's going on in all the schools, not just one. So the error rates, and you know, look, I do this 10-year analysis for districts in Westchester County, but in other places that ask me to do it, I highly don't recommend doing it here, because you're just way too small to make any kind of logical sense and good decisions based upon a 10-year projection.
Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Grip? No? Dr. Grip, thank you very much for your presentation and all your work for the district. We really appreciate it. Thank you for making the trek out here late on a Monday night.
Well, thanks. It's been a pleasure working with you. You're fabulous professional board, everyone I've worked with. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a safe trip home.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Would anyone in the public like to make any comments on school-related matters only? If you would, please approach the mic. State your name, address.
Hi, Amy MacIsaac, 24 Riverbend Road. Two quick things. One, the ad hoc committee you just mentioned, will that involve any parents at all or no?
Not at this particular point.
No, okay. The other question I had was an agenda item. Michelle Cohn. What exactly does a district supervisor of evaluation and student programs do?
Yep. Okay. It is a new position in the district. Clearly, this person is going to be doing evaluations and supervising teachers and staff, as well as doing an analysis of different student programs within the district. So if we have a particular program, we want to know, is that working? Is it not working? And we're collecting data to really do that and do an analysis of what's working about it, what's not working, and what we need to do better.
So this shall be like a statistician in one regard, but then also will this have to do with teacher evaluations?
Yes, not so much a statistician for that position, but doing an analysis of what the program looks like and what's working and not working about it. And yes, they will be doing teacher evaluations as well. As we've talked about on the board a lot, particularly last year, there was a major change in the directive from the state on increasing the amount of evaluations. We have one administrator in each building. There's no possible way we can complete all those evaluations in the time we need to complete them.
So is this a one-year position? Or I'm just wondering, if they're doing teacher evaluations, how objective is she going to be for the same years for the same teachers over and over?
As a matter of fact, the entire district administration, all administrators in the district, do evaluations on teachers, including myself, and we train in the Danielson model. We are all certified. In fact, we recalibrated this year our certification, and our new administrator will be doing the same thing. So it's as objective as you can possibly be, and we switch, so we don't do the same people. So I don't do the same people every year. We rotate and distribute it out across all the administration. And in fact, you're required to do, in some different schools, you're required to do some team evaluations where two administrators go into a classroom and evaluate one teacher to kind of calibrate and make sure you're getting the same objective numbers in that evaluation.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Good evening. I'm Aurora Pipling, Chief Executive Director at the Work Family Connection, and I'm here to comment on the full-day kindergarten. For approximately 23 years now, the Work Family Connection has been operating an extended-day kindergarten here at Clinton Township, which means, for example, that a parent whose kindergartner goes to AM kindergarten at Spruce Run can attend the PM kindergarten at the Work Family Connection, therefore making a full day kindergarten as a choice for for those parents. And not only 5 days a week, but the choice could be 1 to 5 days a week. And that's primarily, you may have heard that program be called a kindergarten wraparound program or a K-wrap program, it's sometimes referred to. That is a choice that has been here for parents, as I said, for many years. And it has been an academic learning environment for students. It's not a child care or a babysitting program. And I do want to introduce this evening, where'd you go? You are right there. Kim Menchie, who is our lead teacher at the kindergarten at Spruce Run for the Work Family Connection. She has a master's in elementary education with a certification for K to 6. She has been she's done her student teaching at Spruce Run School, and she has also done her practicum as a collaborative effort between the Work Family Connection and the Clinton Township School District. And she is has also worked as a tech teacher at Spruce Run and also as a special aid assistant at Spruce Run as well. So I just would like her to spend a minute or two telling you what the kindergarten program is like as a choice here for parents.
Thank you. Thank you, Rory. Good evening. Many parents sometimes at open houses and back to school nights often ask, you know, what does a typical day look like for a student in K-RAP? So I just briefly want to go through that. At CTSD, we say this is where children come first. And at the Work Family Connection, we share in this common goal.
Excuse me, Ms. Menchie?
Yes.
Do you have any particular questions for the board or business you'd like us to deal with this evening?
No, we just wanted to publicly comment on we get a lot of questions from parents about our program, and we just wanted to comment on that. If this is an appropriate time, we could do it at another time.
Yeah, I think probably if we could do this at another time,
okay.
That would be
all right.
A little bit better.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board? No? Okay, let's move on then to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark, your report, please.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Well, a timely report would be the enrollment report, which is at 1455. We also have a suspension report, one-day in-school suspension at Round Valley School. We have a harassment, intimidation, bullying report. There were 5 investigations at Round Valley School. 1 was determined to be harassment, intimidation, bullying. I'd also like to share one more thing. As one of our parent universities, we, on October 21st, we did a walk through the park. We had about 60 parents who came that night. It was a very vigorous discussion. As well as parents taking the park. I read through the evaluations that parents did at the end of the presentation, and parents were very pleased with it, despite our initial thought that maybe people had more questions and didn't want to take the test. At the end of the evening, they were very pleased they took the test and had that experience, but they also asked for another question and answer session. So you'll be receiving an e-blast that we are scheduling another question and answer session on November 11th, I want to say. November 11th at 7 p.m. at this auditorium. Please pass the word if you were at that meeting. We are going to extend that conversation. There'll be no test taking that night, just questions and answers. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm looking for a motion for 15-SU-005, please. Motion.
Second.
Dan, second. Rachel? Any questions for Dr. Clark from the Board of Education?
Yeah, Dr. Clark, I know that we do a yearly report on HIV, which was done 2 months ago, I think, by Melissa.
Yes, we do a couple each year, yes.
This is a curiosity question. Because there's an HIV determination, do we look at those mid-year and put corrective actions in place for all the schools, or is that the yearly amount?
Yes, we do that twice a year. We look at that. And then we look at that. We have that big report that we do a presentation on what our teachers think and a whole thorough analysis. We also look at when those HIVs happen, what time in the schools. The school safety teams look at that as well and say, okay, are the HIV incidents happening more at unsupervised times, maybe during the cafeteria time, maybe a recess, not unsupervised that there are no teachers there, but a more free viewing time in, as opposed to in a classroom.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark? No? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Jeskowitz, please?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vodorama?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes. Oh, are we sorry?
Hi.
Mrs. McHugh?
Abstain.
I was like, I didn't even call you.
Okay, I'd like to move on, please, to our public comment section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. All the parameters I laid out for our first public comment section will apply to this one. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this section to 20 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board on agenda items only? No? Seeing none, we'll move on then to the report of our school business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Jeskowitz.
First off, I'd like to say the current date of the next Board of Education meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 17th, 2014 at 7:30 p.m. in this auditorium at the middle school. I just wanted to let you know that we have the security doors are starting to be done over at the Round Valley School. That started last week, and this will be a continuing, ongoing change out of the doors, and will continue from one school, next school would be the Spruce Run School, and then thereafterwards would be the Patrick McGarren School. In addition to that, our main entrance. Yes. Okay, sure.
I'm looking for a motion. It's complete with your section. Right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We're looking for a motion on 15BA-007 to 15BA-010. Looking for a motion, please.
So moved.
Rachel, second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz?
I have a question on 15BA-007. I attended part of the executive session, so how am I voting on that?
How are you voting, meaning are you permitted to vote? The answer is yes, you are.
Even though I wasn't there for the entire session.
You are voting based upon what you know to the accuracy of the minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vodorama?
Yes, but on actually on 15BA-007 in the executive session, I abstain.
So you're abstaining on 007?
For the executive session, yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Abstain. Mrs. Cook's forgetting me.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Abstain.
Abstain.
No, sorry.
Maria, you can allow her to make the motion to adjourn the meeting so she feels.
Okay. We're going to move on to the reports of our individual committees now. Our first committee report this evening is Facilities and Finance. Mr. Malloy is the chair of that committee. He has a work commitment this evening and unfortunately can't be here with us. So we've asked Mr. Juskowitz to please give the committee report.
I wanted to let the public know that we have done our annual bus evacuation drills. They were conducted for students at the middle school and Round Valley School on October 14th, 2014, and for the students at Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren on October 15th. The drill was also conducted for the PM Kindergarten and Pre-K on October 15th.
Bless you.
For finance, we just had the reports. Since I've been here, I've been trying to learn a new accounting system. So right now we've gotten June and July were submitted at this meeting, and hopefully the August and September reports should be included on the November agenda. Also, for discussion for the buildings and grounds, we're looking to allocate money from maintenance reserve fund to address some severe problems that we have with our facilities. And I am putting together a list, and I will be submitting that over to the Buildings and Grounds Committee so they know what we can withdraw to get those items fixed in the district. Secondly, we are starting a work order program that we are going to look to purchase, and that is roughly about $2,700, and our insurance company reimburses us for half that cost. In addition, we are looking to get appraisal done in the district. We have went out and obtained quotes to do so, and what we wanted to do is appraise the values, the insurable values of the school district in case there is a fire, and also to update our valuables that we have of $2,000 and more. We are also discussing a replacement of the barn for some smaller sheds at each school site to alleviate storage problems that we have at each school. Also, we're also looking at doing inspections. Well, we have done inspections of our basketball backboards, bleachers, and gym dividers.
Thank you.
We have some issues that are going on with some of those, and we are also looking and reviewing quotes to look at what we can withdraw from our maintenance account. We're also looking at sanitary sewer upgrades for both facilities at our Round Valley School and Patrick McGarren. And those findings I will be bringing over to the Buildings and Grounds Committee at a later date. We're also looking at having maintenance agreements for our roofs. We have one or two companies coming in to look at those, to give us prices on having maintenance agreements. And also, those companies have presented to us how we can look at those items. What we would do is before and after pictures, and we would be presented to our board, and it would give us also a life expectancy of our roofs and when we would have to replace them. We're also looking at the discussion of the theatrical needs here at the Clinton Township Middle School. Some of the items that have been here for about 10 years need to have a maintenance plan put into place, and also to have upkeep done on the facility so we keep it looking as well as it is at the current at its current state. Let's see here. We're looking at a field study that was done for the middle school back several years ago, and we're also reviewing that again at some later point in time to possibly do some work with the fields here that is between Spruce Run and the middle school. Also, we are looking to purchase a water softening system for our kitchen equipment because there have been ongoing repairs because we have hard water, and if we look into finding a solution of putting in a water softening system, we shouldn't have as much in kitchen repairs for the future. Also, we're looking to strengthen our use of facility application with getting input from our insurance provider and also our attorney. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for motion for 15-FF060 to 15-FF070.
Motion,
Mr. Pacciuto.
Second.
Second. Ms. Tan. Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz? Mrs. Sturgis?
I just have a quick. Oh, sorry.
Mrs. Sturgis?
On 063, the the contract for the IEP consulting review. What is the nature of the contract?
Can you speak up? I'm sorry. Can you?
On FF063, it's a contract with Resolution Resource Partners for IEP consulting review. What is the nature of the contract?
I just wanted to, on action item 070, I see that Allison Ford had donated some toys. Allison Ford, she's here?
Yeah.
She donated some toys, I see, to the Little Star and Spruce Run School, and I wanted to thank her. That was really sweet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Ms. Vergarama?
On action item 15, FF065, with the Orton consultant, what exactly is that looking like?
Yeah, we've been in Orton Gillingham Satellite, so we've been training our teachers, mm-hmm. and this is additional consultation for the training.
So it's just 8 hours for the year?
It's an extension of what we've been doing.
Any other questions? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
I need to abstain on FF060. Yes to everything else.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vodaramo?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Abstain.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to our committee, personnel negotiations. Mr. McTiernan is chair of that particular committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you please give your committee's report?
Sure. We have action items PN070 through PN095. In there, I want to bring to your attention is the recommendation by the district superintendent for district supervisor evaluation and student programs. I wonder if Dr. Clark would give us an overview of Michelle Cohn, her qualifications, so that we can vote on her. We've already heard an excellent rendition as to what the responsibilities of the position will be. So, Dr. Clark, I turn that over to you.
Absolutely, with pleasure. We have been looking to fill this position for a while now. And frankly, we've struggled a bit to find the right person and have them be part of our team. We actually had over 60 applications for the position, and we interviewed, we screened all 60 applications. We interviewed about 20 that we brought back for second interviews. And then we got it down to about 8 final candidates. And we chose Michelle Cohn. We're really very excited about having her as part of the team. She is an experienced grade 3-8 teacher. She's had a number of different experiences, but I'm going to brag a little bit. She was Teacher of the Year in Tewksbury Township in 2010. She's had an administrative internship dealing with all aspects of middle school operations, including building safety, student discipline, scheduling, curriculum development, student assessment, and teacher evaluation. She did New Jersey ASK testing coordination for scheduling of the teachers and their assignments throughout the testing, and special accommodations.
She's been on the Council of Instruction, IR and S committee, and a middle school schedule redesign committee, which I know is very exciting to Ms. Hammond, because we have been looking at the schedule at the middle school for a while now, with a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth, trying to find the right schedule that fits our staff and our student needs. So we're excited to have Michelle join us and be part of that difficult assignment for the future. Her references were beyond stellar, the return phone calls I got immediately talked about what a strong work ethic she has and how devoted to children she is. And that's who we want as part of our administrative team here. So we're excited to have her. And I'm happy to put her name before you in recommendation for the position.
Welcome.
We also had an overview of action item PN076. I don't know if our president would like to elaborate on that anymore, but her opening comments.
No, I think we've worked very hard this summer with Dr. Clark and developed some very good merit goals for this upcoming school year. The whole board supported it, as well as the county executive county superintendent. So we present those goals again to the board for final approval this evening.
They are. I will also say that the executive county superintendent doesn't just rubber stamp those goals. They talk to me extensively about what they are, how they're going to be accomplished. They asked me for a number of backup documents on how we achieved the goal, how we set it, how we designed it, and how we're going to accomplish it. So I've had extensive conversations with the county about them before they issue a final approval.
We don't set peanut butter objectives.
No.
The other action item, I'll just give a brief summary of this. We've had 6 resignations. That's not really a surprise. In fact, the resignation numbers that we have on permanent staff actually are quite low when you look at a healthy organization. Most of the resignations that we receive are in aid-like positions. We did have 2 significant staff resignations effective within the next 30 days or so from our IT department. So we're actively pursuing individuals to fill those positions. We're also employing some people. We're hiring 5 people, a teacher's assistant, a child study team secretary, 2 lunch aides, and an event nurse chaperone. And I believe the event nurse chaperone is limited in hours of participation to critical events where medical assistance may be necessary or needed to support the student population. So that is not a permanent, I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but a permanent full-time position. But it's a permanent position that we need to have someone on board for in case there is a medical emergency. And we do have 1 disability leave of absence taking place. We're approving in here is 6 chaperones for varying functions within the school district. We have 3 student aid resolutions with 4 students. The 3 student aid resolutions that are important is that we have partnerships with 3 different universities right now. We've been continuing that for the past couple of years, and it's great to see new people entering the educational field, getting real hand experience with qualified and quality teachers. We also are approving CPR for 3 of our lunch aides, approving basketball stipends, and also we've got some substitutes that we're approving in here also. I think it's not unimportant to note that, again, and I'll probably mention this in each meeting, is that all of the vacancies that take place do put a significant burden on the administrative staff in 1, recruiting, identifying qualified candidates, and then going through that screening process. I think right now for our senior positions, we're looking probably at an initial candidate pool anywhere of 50 to 75 resumes. I share that with you as it demonstrates clearly that Clinton Township School District is an attractive place to work, as viewed by many on the outside. I think we're receiving pretty similar responses for our other positions, 8 positions, et cetera, but each of those needs to be viewed, screened, qualified or disqualified, and then to go through the interview process, which occupies a number of individuals in our administrative staff. We thank them for their commitment, engagement, and involvement in the quality selection processes. So with that, what I'd like to do is make a motion to approve action items PN070 through PN095.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Ms. McLaughlin. Any questions for Mr. McTiernan?
I just had a question on action item 15, PN088, the student teacher. I'm just noting that the placement has already taken place. So is that a late placement? So do we typically approve a placement prior to?
No, we typically approve it prior to. The paperwork was all in and done correctly, but it didn't get on the board agenda.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, can we please have a roll call?
Mr. McKeon?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes, except I have to abstain from action item 15, PN076.
Mrs. McHugh?
Abstain.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our committee report from our Policy and Curriculum Committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, could you please give your committee's report?
Yes. Good evening. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met last week, the week before, 2 weeks ago, and we had a very lengthy meeting. One of the highlights of the meeting, though, I thought was discussing the field trips. There are several field trips we are going to be moving forward tonight. There is a third grade field trip to Waterloo Village that is related to social studies. There is a first grade trip to the Da Vinci Science Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania, related to science. There's a first and second grade trip. The first grade trip is related to theater, which is really great to see because we often don't see field trips related to theater. So I was very excited to see the arts as a field trip. We have a second grade field trip also to the Round Valley Planetarium related to science, and we have a seventh grade field trip to the New Jersey State Museum and the New Jersey Old Barracks Museum. And over the course of the last several years, the board has asked that the teachers and administrators really look to build those experiences beyond the curriculum, but at the same time tie them into what the students are learning. And I have to say that this year, looking at all the field trips that have been planned so far, are really spectacular because they're very diverse. They're related to science, social studies, the arts, and it's really nice to see that there are so many meaningful experiences for our students. And I know that the students really enjoy field trips. That's one of the things they remember most about particular years that they went to a certain place. We also have a field trip in the eighth grade, which has become a new tradition. Students who have a certain academic performance, I believe it's a B or better. I don't know, Mrs. McCormick isn't here. But they have to write an essay to explain why they would like to go to Gettysburg. And I believe last year was about 50 students. My son actually was able to participate in this field trip. It's a board-sponsored field trip, so the board does pay for the buses to go on the trip, and the students are at Gettysburg for a very long day. They leave very early, and they come back very late at night. So they all come back very enthusiastic about what they learned. So I'm glad to see that we're able to, again, offer this program this year to eighth graders. The less exciting part of the meeting report is the policies. We have quite a lot of policies that we're moving forward tonight. We have several policies that are first reading, and we have some policies that are second reading. The majority of the first reading policies have to do with minor language changes. So, for example, in policy 5305, health services personnel, we had previously referred to the students as pupils, and now we're changing it to students. So most of the majority of the language changes are very minor. We do have one new policy, screening for dyslexia. It's policy 5339. There's a new law recently passed in New Jersey where school districts have to screen students for reading disabilities and dyslexia by grade 2. And any incoming students who have not been screened will also receive screening. So the district is working to make sure that that requirement is met. There is a table. I want to table two, one policy and one regulation tonight. They're both related to the same policy and regulation topic, student discipline and code of conduct. So it's policy 5600 and regulation 5600. Our committee needs a little bit more time to look at a rubric within that particular policy and regulation. So those two particular policies and regulations I would like to table. There's also a wellness policy. The highlights of that are that we provide physical education classes. Students are exposed to posters about healthy food. We have nutrition goals set aside, and we have healthy choices available at lunch. Those are some of the highlights of the policies for first reading. If you have any comments after reading any of the particular policies, feel free to send them along to me. And at our next curriculum meeting, which is in 2 weeks, because we have an early board meeting in November this month, we will discuss 1 week?
November 3rd.
Okay, 1 week. 1 week. We will be discussing those policies again.
Another facilities one in another week and a half, too, so they're just rolling in.
Okay. Also tonight, we have second readings for homework, professional responsibilities, lesson plans, and school closings, which I had highlighted last month. Action item 15PC018 is the formation of a committee based on Dr. Grip's presentation earlier tonight, looking at the feasibility for closing a school ad hoc committee with the following board members appointed: Ms. Hand, Mr. McTiernan, Mrs. Grant, and Mr. Malloy, along with Dr. Clark as an ex officio of the committee. With that being said, I would like to move action item 15PC014 through 15PC018.
Second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Hand. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin, please?
I've got some questions on both policies and regulations. And it's not on the what, it's on the how. And that is, in the policies and regulations, it basically states it's the school board's responsibility to keep the administrators and teachers up to date or knowledgeable of what the policy regulations are. In those instances, one, when we make changes, how are we communicating that? And the how question is more on what's the timeliness of the communication of a change in policy. The other is, how does a new teacher become informed and engaged and aware of our policies and also AIMS? And one of the ones that struck where it hit me was reading, I think it was 5306. I understand bloodborne pathogens and how that's done, but it's kind of a question of we just hired a couple of, we're in the process of hiring some new school aides. And as we do those lunch aides, especially are in a position where they may be exposed to bodily fluids, mainly because of where they are and what's going on in the lunchroom. It's the how question, not a what question. How are we making sure those people are current, aware, as sort of we do things that are mid-year rather than beginning?
Well, when we're first hiring over the summer, we do new training for new teacher training. We do periodic professional development throughout the school year at different times where we have those half days or in February. So we fill in there. As policies come through, the principals are made aware of them. They share them with the staff if they are pertinent to the staff as they become passed. Normally what I also do is if it specifically relates to, for example, if they're health and wellness type policies, all right, if they relate to nursing in some way, I ask the nursing team to review those policies and also make recommendations and express to me concerns. So if there's something that comes up that they have a concern about, they're aware of it while we're discussing policy and kind of before, so they have some input. We do the same thing with different policies that relate to different areas of supervision.
Any other questions for Mrs. McLaughlin?
I don't have a question. I just want to reiterate that, you know, the field trips do look great. It's a lengthy process that the teachers have to fill out in order to attend a field trip. And just like Mr. McTiernan was complimenting our admin team about how they're busy and now have to start some processes, I also have to say that as teachers, they are busy just as well with SGOs and lesson planning and professional development plans, and they also have to fill out some lengthy forms. So we're very thankful that they take the time and really research their places that they want to go to. So we're very thankful for that and their time of putting into the paperwork, because it's done very, very well.
And we read every single piece of it.
Mr. Sturgis?
On PCO 18, the ad hoc committee, the name of the committee is Feasibility for Closing a School Ad Hoc Committee. It sounds to me as if it's somewhat of a foregone conclusion. We haven't yet discussed that as a board. You know, we had the presentation tonight by the demographer. I was a little bit surprised that the committee was named what it was. And I just wanted to ask, what is the outcome of the committee, and can we talk a little bit about the makeup of the committee?
Feasibility means we're still pursuing a lot of information to understand whether we will or won't close a school and gathering more information. This presentation that was made this evening is one tool in a tool shed of what we will need to determine whether we close a school or not. So it's really the feasibility of whether we close the school or not.
But closing the school, in my mind, would be one of the outcomes of analyzing the enrollment trends. So isn't the analysis analyzing the enrollment? We got very good data today and a good presentation and an opportunity to ask questions. But the school closing is a potential outcome of the enrollment trend. So to me, the project is analyzing the enrollment trend, getting feedback, and then an outcome could be closing a school. But I don't see the goal as closing the school and analyzing whether it's possible.
I think when we were all talking about this in facilities and finance, we don't know whether we can close a school or not. We don't know whether all of this data is the only data that will be used exclusively to make that decision. And so that's why we're still looking into the feasibility of whether we should or shouldn't close a school.
Okay. I don't like the name of the committee. It just, to me, it seems to forecast a conclusion. I'd recommend we rename it that we're analyzing the enrollment. That could be an outcome. There are many other outcomes that could come out of the analysis other than closing the school. On the makeup of the committee, is it just the four board members? Are there other members of the public or the community involved in that ad hoc?
Right now, it's just members of the board until we can really scope out the whole project of what we need to do and the data we need to get. And there may be down the road where we expand the committee to include staff members as well as members of the community. But right now, there's so much information of what we need to do to continue to evaluate this particular situation that it's not really a situation where we want to open it to everybody at this particular point in time.
Okay. I would want to make sure that we do that if and when the time is appropriate. It's an important decision that I think should be made by more than just the board.
Absolutely. And we are looking into how other districts, whether it just be in the state of New Jersey or other schools in other areas around the country, how they've gone and evaluated the potential for closing a school, all the steps that they've taken. And there's one report that I know we have that we've been looking at that specifically has at what particular point do you extend the scope of who participates and when and what their roles and responsibilities are. So you're absolutely right. At some point we will do that, but just not at the initial steps of this evaluation.
Did we also make this decision during policy and curriculum to start this committee?
No, but that's where we understand that when we do an ad hoc, that's where that should be placed. Any other questions? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. McKeon?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
No on 18, yes on the remaining.
Mrs. Votorama?
No on 18, yes on the remaining.
Mrs. McHugh?
Abstain.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to our communications committee, Mrs. Bertaramo is the chair of that committee. Mrs. Bertaramo?
Nothing to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to turn it back over to Mrs. McLaughlin. She is the chair of the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee, where she has a quick update on the process for this evening. Mrs. McLaughlin.
The Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee was anxiously awaiting the demographic study. Earlier this week, I forwarded the demographic study, after the board received it, of course, to the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee. We will be reconvening our committee in the next couple of weeks. I've been in touch with the committee to look at dates to set up, and we will anticipate a presentation to the board in the near future. We will be talking with Dr. Clark about what particular month would be best in terms of budgeting for the presentation, as well as not overloading the board with too many presentations in one night.
I do have something to share. I was at a county meeting last week, and there's a new county educational specialist. I will contact you with her name. She said she would be interested in coming to one of the ad hoc committee meetings and sharing information about full-day kindergarten and different educational aspects of it that she thought the committee should be aware of,
okay,
especially related to the Common Core.
Okay, great.
So she said she would be happy to attend one of your meetings or more if you need her.
Okay, super, thank you.
Does that conclude your report, Mrs. McLaughlin?
It does.
Thank you. Moving over to our ad hoc committee for the district website, Mr. Petito is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petito?
Thank you. So we announced at our last meeting on September 22nd the formation of this committee that's going to center around our website and or the district website. After we communicated the ad hoc formation, we received quite a good response from the community. About a dozen people wanted to join the committee, and that was great and encouraging to see. What we did is we decided to limit the number of members of the community joining the committee to about 5 people, and I held a random drawing of all the people who did submit their name. So I want to read out all the folks that are part of the committee. Myself, of course, my co-Board of Ed member, Rachel McLaughlin, 2 staff members, Kim Jaw and Lisa Miller, and then 5 members of the community, who include Andrea Stevens, Karen Smith, Julie Siever, Joe Pecoro, and Maureen McCann. So the function of this committee is really twofold. First, we're going to look at the actual functionality of the website, how it works, how it's performing. And then secondarily, we want to look at the information that's on the website. Is it pertinent to what needs to be there? Is additional information needed? And is it easy to get to? So that's basically the function of the ad hoc committee. Right now, we've tentatively scheduled November 13th, which is a Thursday, at 7 p.m. is our initial meeting. We are still finding a location for that meeting, so I will reach out to all the members of the committee once we have that information. We'll go for that. And I want to thank everyone who did put their name in to join the committee. I appreciate it.
I looked into location for you. I think Round Valley School is your best bet because of what you need access to.
Right.
So probably one of the fourth grade classrooms. I have a couple options for us, so I'll get you the exact classroom, but it would be at Round Valley School.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Petito. Moving on to old business, this portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business on school-related matters only. It is not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. I always open this section up with Mr. McTiernan, who's our liaison to the town council. He attends all of the town council meetings that occur during the month. And I know at least there are two, bless you, there are at least 2 meetings per month that he sits in on and attends. So, Mr. McTiernan, your report on that, please.
Well, not all. I did have a choice between being in San Francisco watching the World Series on TV or being at the council meeting, and I chose to be in San Francisco. Sorry about that. A number of things are going on within the township. I'll just hit those things that are most appropriate. I did miss the Wednesday meeting I do know at that meeting that two police officers were hired. I don't know what their start dates are, but I think one might be January of next year, one in October. That should help us with security. That's also an alert to those of you with pedal to the metal. You might want to use a shirt off. One of the primary focuses of the council right now is COA. You're hearing a lot about COA. You're also hearing about open space, which is a ballot question that the council is hoping everyone votes for. They're still looking for the optimal best case plan. Again, they're looking at Windy Acres. They're looking at the farmer's property, which I would say is on the northbound side of 31, south of the municipal building. That seems to be out of consideration for COA. They're also looking at the Marukian property. That Marukian property is the property that is south of Regional Road on 31, or directly across from the entrance to the high school. That seems to be their primary choice right now. I do know that they're looking at other areas and interested in talking to people about other space for that. They're also in negotiations, and point of interest for us citizens in the township of Clinton, is the town of Clinton Water Department and the impacts on our water rates. So there are some things that need to be looked at and taken care of. So I think, again, number one is the COA. We've seen what the impact could or could not be in regards to student enrollment as it affects Clinton Township. That seems to be somewhat of a equal or non-event in regards to our planning. And that would be the update on the town council.
Thank you. DIAC.
The DIAC committee is next going to meet on November 11th, Veterans Day, in the afternoon. There was no meeting between the last two, the last Board of Ed meeting and this meeting.
Thank you. Any board member like to bring up any old business relative to the board? No? Seeing none, I'd like to move on to new business of the board under this section. Just like the old business section, not a time to make personal statements, rather it's time to discuss new topics relative to the board. Are there any new topics that any board member would like to bring up this evening?
I actually have one. It's actually somewhat related to what Anthony brought up during the facilities and finance portion of the night. He alluded to some repair of some backboards in the district. Were those related to inside the buildings or outside the buildings?
Inside.
Okay, so I'm aware that the outside basketball hoops at CTMS don't have any nets. I don't know if they ever have had nets, but I had an inquiry as to whether or not they could have nets. So I don't know if that's something that we could include in the scope of looking at.
That's something very minimal, and if I was to do anything with that, I would wait till the spring to do so, since the weather won't be conducive to that.
Okay.
The other thing with having chains is the possibility that kids, as I've seen in other school districts, grab them, pull on them, and then rip their hands. But we're going to have, at some point in time, we're going to have our insurance company. Not only they came out and did a playground inspection, but they would do a loss recognition, whereas, you know, what could harm somebody walking around the buildings, whether it's cracked sidewalk or something else that's missing. So that'll be forthcoming within the next month or so.
Okay.
Waiting for a date for the insurance company to come down and look at that.
Thank you. Any other new business anyone would like to bring up? No? Okay. I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves in school matters of community interest. Follow the same guidelines that we have for the prior to comment sections. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the mic, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this comment section to 10 minutes.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. The fact that tonight's meeting was moved up to 6:30. I know it was spoken about at the last meeting, however, it wasn't really effectively put out there to anyone. There was no notification on the website. The time was not changed on the upcoming events. It wasn't changed as of like yesterday or maybe the day before, because I specifically went to look after I spoke to you at the meeting last week. And I just feel that part of the communications is just not, you know, this, yes, you had the appointment of the new member, which didn't really affect anyone, but in another, I understand you also had the demographic survey that you were trying not to maybe confuse people with the time, but it could have just said, you know, we are still keeping the presentation at 7:30, however, we have an additional business that needs to start at 6:30. It would have just been, you know, without knowing. And also for the website, if you look at each of the schools' website, not one of them had the board meeting on the upcoming events. However, if you went to the school website on the upcoming left-hand side, that displayed the school board meeting. So just, you know, there's a bunch of little things you guys obviously know about the website, but that's the specific thing that came to mind that I personally bookmark my school page and go straight there. I don't always go to the main website and just click down. So if I wasn't paying attention or I didn't know when another one was coming up, I would not have known about it.
Would anybody else like to address the board? No? Seeing none, before we adjourn the meeting, I would just like to share with Mrs. McHugh, our meetings are typically not this long. Okay? So I don't want you to get a resignation letter from me tomorrow morning. This is atypical. We've been pretty good about keeping them below about an hour and a half or so. On a monthly basis, so please don't run away. This is atypical. So I'm looking for a motion, Ms. McHugh, to adjourn this meeting.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. Sand. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting adjourned.
Huh? Skeptical.